Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's Thursday. It's time for our weekly checkup with Dr. Richard Holm. He's the creator and host of On Call with the Prairie Doc, which you can see on SDPB television on Thursday nights. Dr. Holm, welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Hi, Lori.
We started our hour today with First Lady, or started our program today, I should say, with First Lady Linda Dugard, and she was known, part of her legacy, for talking about sleep habits. So today we talk about pediatrics, and let's start with the little babies and putting them to sleep. Do you agree with First Lady Linda Dugard on the rules and the best practices for sleep safety?
Absolutely. We used to think that the way to put a baby to sleep is on their belly. And we realized with scientific research that these crib deaths, was what they used to call them, these sudden infant deaths that occur and with normal autopsies and no evidence of a cause, was because these children were laying on their belly. They were surrounding their oral intake, their airway intake, with carbon dioxide, and it is it's a sedative. And so children that are sleeping on their belly, which is what we were promoting like crazy in the old days, were the ones that had a higher incidence of sudden infant death, and that laying on their back is a better chance. I mean, we always thought that people would inhale, they'd aspirate, and that and that was the cause, and that's why we wanted them on their belly. But not so. Science found the truth, and that's what science is, to search out what is the true reason for something. What seems sensible isn't always what is true.
Right. And what about co-sleeping? Because that seems sensible, too, because so many people throughout the world sleep with their infants, so it seems natural to cuddle up with your baby and go to sleep. What have we learned about co-sleeping?
Well, you end up rolling over on your baby and you don't know it, you're asleep, and the baby dies. People were struggling with that. And so the discussion about how do you get your baby to go to sleep, because he doesn't want to stop crying in the crib. She wants to get her way and talk you into coming and holding him. And the answer, what we did in our household, and I think this is a very important clue, is that you have to make sure that they know that you're there and that you love them, and you come and reassure them every 5 minutes if they're screaming bloody murder. But the moment you pick them up and then give them their way and take them back to your own bed, you're putting them at risk. And, you're putting them at risk. You can't do that. So they're smart little buggers very early. We all know that if we do this and we get a result, then we're going to do this again. And so what we always did in our home is our babies would cry in the night because they were wet or they were hungry or they were dirty, And so the deal I did was I would get up and I would change the baby. We'd have a dry diaper, everything is good, and then I would bring the baby to mama, who would breastfeed the baby, and then she would bring the baby back to the crib. And when the baby was crying inconsolably, I would get up or she would get up and we'd go in and say, "You're okay, we love you, rub, 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 love, love, love." Maybe even pick them up and pat them a little bit, and then back in the crib, and then we'd walk away and then scream bloody murder for 5 minutes, and we'd go back and we'd pat them, "You're fine." And then we'd let them scream bloody murder for time at a time until they all of the three little babies, we have four children, but three of them we had to get through the infancy. All of them got that same, "We love you very much, you're staying in the crib, kid."
When my daughter was an infant, she was one of those that was just inconsolable at all hours of the night. And now, in retrospect, I think maybe I should have taken her to the doctor because maybe there was something else going on with an allergy or something. So let's talk a little bit about when do we, you know, take to the, when do we call the doctor? How, you're a new parent, everything kind of, you know, freaks you out, but there's also a whole bunch of things that you don't know, and you don't know that you don't know. So how do you make that decision as a parent?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you absolutely don't know, and you really, you know, you're really worried, and you just, you know, bring them in. And my pediatric nurse practitioner wife and I were on our local AM radio station yesterday, and we talked about this very question. When do you bring them in? And you know, when you don't have a fever and they're stuffy and they've got a cold, you don't need to bring them to the doctor. And when they're a little fussy because they this or that, you know, you examine them. You look, make sure there's not a hair twisted over a toe, or make sure that there isn't a terrible rash on the back, or, you know, do your examination like the doctor is going to have to do, or the nurse practitioner, PA. And then when that's finished, you have to know there's a little bit of irritability kids will have, you know, periodically, and you don't need to bring them in every time. But if there's something that's persistent, or if there's a fever that's significant, like more than 101, or if there is something wrong, you can tell and you're worried and you don't know what it is, you know, that's the time to bring them to the clinic. I would really encourage any mom, dad, or grandma and grandpa to realize that it's very important for every person, including every infant and baby, to have one person as their main caregiver, you know, their main primary care doctor, physician, nurse practitioner, PA, that they know you, you know them. And then I would say also recently, and I'll just say this. This has been a nice thing. I got a call from Mary Carpenter, who is a physician from West River, and a dear friend. And she said that she's a member of the committee that was talking with the Department of Health and the Department of Social Services. And they're wanting to improve the percentage of annual wellness visits for kids and young adults, along with using the opportunity to educate parents on total wellness for children. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't say more about that, you know, because there is a resource for you to help know about the long-term wellness for your child. So I think coming in and saying specifically, I want to spend some time about an annual wellness visit once a year, and I want to look at the total wellness picture. What do I need to do as a parent to make sure that this child grows up healthy and happy? You know, and so we're going to use that as a topic for next year's television show. But tonight we have Dr. Joe Zeno, who is the head of the Department of Pediatrics for the University of South Dakota Sanford School of Medicine. And he's a pediatrician, and it'll be great fun to talk tonight about all those pediatric issues.
Hmm. All right. So the issues that when our kids, your kids and my daughter, when they were infants and toddlers and preschoolers, those issues, some of them are evergreen, stay the same, healthy sleep and nutrition. And then there's some new stuff, which is those lovely screens that every mom and dad and grandma and grandpa seems to have. You want to take those pictures of your kids. But kids are getting exposed to screen time at a really young age, sometimes just because, you know, mom and dad are carrying them throughout the day and doing their, you know, their normal work. What are you telling folks about screen time now before we really have all the information that we have?
Right. Well, you know, my recommendation is, you know, I generally suggest moderation in everything, including recommendations about moderation, you know.
Right.
And I think, you know, the kids who have screen time and exposure to screen, they have an intellectual challenge that is a good thing for their brains. But it's not a good thing for their muscles. And that we know sitting in a chair or laying on a couch or doing no activity is worse than smoking. There's probably not one thing that I think is better for kids growing up than being active physically, you know. And if they're not an athlete and involved with a athletic program of some kind, which I think is just wonderful because it teaches teamwork and activity, they should be doing playing outside, finding their friends to interact, you know, watching the water go down the gutter and see how the leaves travel and making little stick boats and exploring the outside, getting out of the house. And I think we as parents need to boot them out of the igloo. You know, get out there, kids. You know, bundle up and go play. Find
go
something.
To sleep, you're fine. Get outside, you're fine.
Get outside, you're fine. And, you know, we talk about free-range children. You know, I grew up in DeSmet, and, I mean, I was a free-range kid. We were all over the town. I mean, we went everywhere.
But you can't do that anymore. I mean, it depends on where you're at. You know, still, in South Dakota, yeah, there are many places where you can be a free-range child, and there's many places where you just can't.
No. So, but there are ways to find them safe places outside. And I think as a parent, that's a thing to do. I also think that we should be letting them ride their bike to school instead of driving them everywhere. Now, I mean, there's times when you can't do that, too, because they're all the way across town, you know. Or the city is too dangerous kind of a thing, you know. But I think, for the most part, we need to let the bikes do it. Just put the helmet on the kid. Slap the helmet on the kid, kick him out the door, bike to
You're
school.
Fine.
You can do it. I want to ride. No, you can do it. And that I never had a ride. I never had a ride to school, ever. I can't think of one time that, you know, I walked to school. Well, it was 3.5 blocks. So it was, I biked.
Right, yeah.
And I biked late. I usually snuck in, you know, the last minute. I knew I was 1.5 minutes to my school from my house if I ran.
I lived in the country. I had to ride the bus. And when my daughter started school, I was like, yeah, you're never riding the bus. I'll give you a ride. So I think we bring our own, you know, and let's just finish with that a little bit because we're running short on time. But, you know, one of the things that I remember as a mother, you know, aside from the basic, you know, this is what keeps your child safe. This is what science tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Just understanding your own kid and your own parenting style, your own instincts, and really, you know, developing into the parent that you want to be, because you and I raised our kids slightly differently, and that's okay. As long as the children were safe. So do you encourage, you know, patients to sort of, you know, moms and dads to do that? Just like, you'll figure this kid out. And then the next one will come along and you'll have to figure that one out too.
Well, I think one of the dangers our children have is helicopter parents who do not teach the rules.
Right.
You know, these are the rules that you have to play by. You don't have to, you know, discipline is not emotional. The best discipline is absolutely without emotion, no anger involved. You know, the ball went out of the court. It is now the other team's ball. No, Dad, I said, this time I promise I will never do it again. I mean, you know, the rules are, this is what happens when that happens. And I mean, you know, you need to do this. This is for your best good. I love you very much. And if you give, you know, unconditional love without teaching discipline, without providing discipline, they come out, you know, abusive. If you if you give discipline with no love, then they come out cold. You know, I think you need to balance things as a parent, but it's got to be your style. And of course, a parent like you, I can feel the unconditional love oozing from your your heart and your fingertips. Sorry, but and the discipline's the hard part, you know. And I think you need to have the rules laid out. You know, here are the rules. You know, make sure that it's all laid out before the big dilemma occurs. And this is what happens. Do you agree with the rules? I mean, these are the way it's going to be. You know, okay. Yeah. All right.
So I picked her up every time she cried, but when she was old enough for swimming lessons, I signed her up for the early lessons, so it was the coldest possible, and I told her it built character, and I threw her in the water. So I did a little bit of both, I guess. I said, it's cold, you'll be fine, but I never let her cry. I always picked her up. I'll confess to that. You can see On Call with the Prairie Doc Thursday nights on South Dakota Public Broadcasting Television. Dr. Holm, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Lori.